Welcome to Your Next Mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Hello out there, warriors, past and present, and your families. I just want to thank you for all that you do and all that you continue to do for this great country. Welcome to Season 3 of Your Next Mission Video Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major, always like to say that, 12th Sergeant Major of the United States Army, and your host. But before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for their generous support in making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I want to say it every week, we love them too. We have a great show for you today. We're going to be focusing on transitioning, and I'm excited to introduce Dr. Sarah Minnis, Assistant Professor in the Masters of Science Human Resources Program at Western Carolina University. Welcome, Sarah. So excited to have you on the show.
Hi, thank you. I'm very excited to be here, Sergeant Major.
Okay. I'm pumped up too, that's for sure. I know you've done a lot of work with the military, prepare them for transitioning. But before we get into that, could you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I have a passion for the work that I do. It's part of every aspect of my job and most of my free time as well. I'm finding that it's an opportunity to give back in a way that I hadn't expected, but it's a lot of fun. It's worthwhile. And it's just something that every day I feel like I make a difference. So my daytime work, I teach in the Masters of Science of Human Resources program. My focus has always been on the developmental side. So I focus a lot on career development, organization development, and talent development in organizations. And then interwoven there, I do my side work, my research, and my service time, mostly focused on veterans transitioning and looking at how we can better help them through that process and help them with, I think, smoothing the process, making it doable, sort of that how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? with apologies to all the vegetarians and vegans out there.
There you go.
I found that if we can make it doable and help them be successful, that's good for all of us. It's good for organizations, and it's good for the rest of us out there who need their talent and expertise in our organizations.
Yeah.
It's good for the families. It's good for the veterans. There's really no downside to helping them to better transition.
Yeah. You know, I always tell people, a lot of people talk, you know, sort of say thank you, which is a nice thing to say, that's for sure. But the other thing is, people like yourself really sort of get in there and do all they can to help our veterans community. So from this old soldier, let me just say thank you for what you're doing. I certainly appreciate it. You know, how did you get started in coaching veterans? And what in your background makes you able to work with veterans so well?
Well, I'm always really upfront and let people know that I am not a veteran. I was raised by a World War II Marine. And so other kids got normal bedtime stories. I got South Pacific World War II stories growing up. So I definitely, you know, come from a place of appreciation for what our military does. I found myself working as a career advisor at Texas A&M. And it was about 2008 or so, and I was seeing an increasing number of military and veterans coming through trying to figure out how to take that next step. And a lot of times they would come in and ask a question or two about a resume or, you know, getting ready for an interview. And then they just wanted to sit and talk. So I have a background in higher ed administration and kind of understanding people, and then coupled with my experience in HR, I was able to listen. I was able to just sit back, listen, ask some probing questions to hit on any points that they wanted to share more about. And so it was an opportunity for me to learn and grow from what they wanted to share. I think it just really solidified my passion for the work. So I then decided that, you know, if I'm going to do this stuff and really focus on people in career development positions, then I really want to focus on the military and veterans, because there's some unique things happening with them that I don't think are occurring with other folks out there in the population. I was finding that they had a tremendous amount of transferable skills and capability for working in a variety of contexts and organizations. And yet employers were just really not understanding that. And so I found that here's an opportunity for me to help them make that transition by helping them understand the civilian work environment, but more so using their experiences to help employers understand the veterans' perspective.
Yeah. A couple of things real quick. One is that I think I'm right. Now, only 1% of our country really serve in the military, mm-hmm. which is sort of sad in itself. The second thing is, I think just from myself, from my own perspective, transition is scary times for people. I mean, because you're sort of getting into the unknown. And it's really, you don't know where you're going to work. You don't know where you get a job. You don't know where you live. Sometimes, I mean, unless you prepared yourself, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but it's tough. And there's not a lot of people, again, not a lot of people like yourself that are out there coaching and teaching our young veterans and old veterans to do those kind of things they need out there. That's for sure. Sarah, you've researched and studied military transition for more than 10 years. And how do you reintegrate your research into your coaching practices?
I work from a perspective that they are intertwined. I can't do good research without understanding what veterans are going through, what their key issues are. I also can't effectively do the coaching that I do without looking at the research that's out there and getting a better sense of what's happening, what other people are saying. It continues to be a really effective perspective for me to do both and use both aspects of my work to inform the other. So when I'm doing my research, I mostly focus on what the veteran's perspective is and then use that to make recommendations to either for further research or to organizations and how they can better support our veterans as they're transitioning and reintegrating. I also look and say, okay, well, how do I then use what the veterans are saying to inform what questions I need to ask from a research perspective? Yeah. So it's a cyclical process, but I found it to be really effective.
Yeah, you may be thinking something. You're making me think all the way through the show here. But do you get the military spouse involved with that process too? It seems to me that, you know, if I'm retiring, I know when I was trying, I wanted my wife to come with me and do everything I did so she understood the kind of issues that we had. Do you get spouses involved in the process?
I have in some cases. When I start with the working with someone in a coaching perspective, you know, we're talking about that employment transition piece. Yeah. It really becomes a broader conversation about how do I transition into a new life? And so we do have conversation about how it impacts their family, how they choose where to live based on their kids' needs or their spouse's needs. Sometimes I do then, as part of that, have conversation with a spouse as well. And so they can be part of the conversation in terms of how do I help my veteran to make this a smoother process? What are the things that I can do? How can I better support? And so I think that is important. You can't just silo the veteran in this one space. You've really got to look at it as a broader life transition issue. And that includes the family.
Yeah. One of the things I did when I was getting out of service is I would come back and I'd always talk to my wife about those issues. I'd say, look, this is kind of recommendation or advice that I got today. from whomever I was talking to. And we'd always sort of go back and forth and try to find what the happy medium was for our family in that transition, because it's just scary for both of you. You know, in our previous discussion, you used the word reintegration, I think it was, when describing transition. Can you elaborate just a little bit more on that?
Sure. So we've heard this term transition for years now. Mm-hmm. We talk about this, you know, transitioning from military to civilian life and things. And it is a transition, but part of that process is wrapped up in the reintegration. Mm-hmm. You know, we spend any number of weeks turning someone into an operational service member on the front end. And we don't often spend as much time or as much intensive time on the back end in helping them to reintegrate as a civilian. And so we talk about employment transition, but it's really a reintegration into civilian life, understanding you know, how things work if they haven't been living as a civilian for a good amount of time when they are exiting the military. So it is a transition and reintegration, and I think there is a fluidity there that I think is important to consider. And so I've started changing my language in the last year or so to talk about reintegration rather than just transition, because they're sort of separate but linked ideas.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to see the conversation shift a little bit that way in the public, talk not just about transition, but reintegration into a new life.
Yeah. I'm just speaking for me now, but I don't know if I ever fully reintegrated into the civilian sector because it's really tough. Because you live a lifestyle, depending on how long you stayed in the military, whether or not it was 3 years, 10 years, or 20 years, or 36 years like myself, 36 plus years like myself. And I don't know, it's just so hard. And I think there's guys and gals like me that get out there that, I don't know, that maybe never fit in again. I think I fit in pretty well, maybe, but I think it's tough. It's not as easy as you think, because there's just I don't know if it's a different language, a different way of looking things, or maybe I used to tell people I thought I knew a lot about the country when I went in the military, because I went to a lot of different countries when I was in the service. But I think because I went in the military, I probably understand more about other countries, other cultures, you know, mm-hmm. around the world, and maybe I look at things just a little bit differently. And that's a bit, you're really right. Reintegrating back into the civilian sectors and stuff. I got to tell you one story real quick. Is when I got out, I in a military installation, you'd go and knock on doors, introduce yourself and stuff, and I did the same thing where I lived in the civilian sector. Build a house, went in there and started talking to people, and I started knocking on doors. Hey, I'm Jack Tilley. I'd like to introduce myself and all stuff. And when I got back to the house, my wife says, hey, they probably think you're nuts, you know, going around, because that's not the way you do it, I guess. It was a little bit of a culture shock for me, if I'd say so. Anyway.
It is certainly different on the outside.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest pieces about reintegration is understanding that piece.
Yeah.
And that it's not just, you know, transition. It's just sort of, there it is. You're going to go through it. No, it's a whole different process. It really is a reintegration into a new life.
Yeah. I've always thought when you came into the military, you ought to start that reintegration process first when you come in. So when you get to the end, it may help you out a little bit. What is the most significant thing veterans need help with when going through employment transition and civilian reintegration? What's their main issues there, I guess?
It's, you know, it's layered. I would say the core issue is identity.
Yeah.
And understanding a new perspective on who you are. I, in a piece of research that I did a few years ago, I used this metaphor of drop your tools, mm-hmm. that you have to, in some ways, kind of strip away all of those things that have made you into a military service member and put on a new identity.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you lose all of that inside, but you have to change how you identify yourself in order to really start to make a mindset change. You're still going to retain a lot of that language and perspective on things, you know, all those experiences that you've had that have formed you in that time in the service, none of that goes away, but you also have to start to change your identity so that you are part of the civilian world. And sometimes that's harder than it might seem. You can take off the uniform, but until you really start to change how you see yourself in civilian life, sometimes that can be very difficult. So it's everything from, you know, changing your wardrobe to changing your language in some ways, being able to relate culturally, socially with others in organizations. And then all of that then gets layered into how you identify yourself on your resume, how you identify yourself in interviews, how you interact in the workplace with a whole new group of people, you know, on the civilian side that may also have some feelings about working with veterans. And so you really have to look at how you change your identity, not losing that important part of you, but finding a way to integrate that into a civilian life.
Yeah. Do you think veterans intimidate people when they go to work at a specific job just by their mannerisms, the way they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think so too.
Some of the stories that I've heard from veterans in terms of even just going through interview processes horrify me. Organizations, especially larger organizations, are doing a better job now at having military connected affinity groups and recognizing veterans in the workplace and really trying to embrace that veteran friendly perspective. But I think broadly, you know, the media has done both a service and a disservice in bringing us so much, you know, day-to-day on the ground perspective on who veterans are. Or who service members are, for better or worse. And so I think people have developed a lot of conceptions that maybe are not entirely accurate. And so part of my mission is also to break down those stereotypes and be out there on the civilian side and say, not everything that you think is true is actually true.
Well, I think a couple of things there. One is I think the military lives in a glass house, right? Everybody's look at that or anything that happens within the military, they're gonna, you know, say something about it or whatever. And so I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, "Geez, are they having all those problems?" Or, you know, whatever the heck it was. And I said, "No. That's just a lot of it's. You know, if you listen to the media, probably 10% of it. I'm not saying it's they're fudging anything. I'm just saying they're not telling the whole story." The second thing I think is really important. You talk about veterans changing. I think the other thing that needs to happen. Our country needs to be more educated on what military does. We should have, I give classes up at Baltimore to a company that I do some work with, and they brought me in just to specifically talk to people about the Army. And we have the Army, the Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, Space Force, all the rest of the stuff in there. And we talk about the services, what goes on with the service, how families are involved, just all that stuff, because we have a, you know, like I said, 1%, we have a country. We have a group of people that does amazing things for this country. There's no question about that. But we also have a country that doesn't know much about the kind of sacrifices they make for them to allow them to have their freedom. So I think it's two ways. I think one is we got to make that reintegration. I understand that too. But on the second side of that is I think our country needs to really sort of work just a little bit harder about understanding those issues and understand exactly what's going on. Hopefully that makes a little bit of sense to you, but I think we're missing the bullet there a little bit. Could you tell me when a veteran should start working on that transition? How many years out should they start working on that transition? Any thoughts and ideas about that?
I think that it's most urgent to work on it, you know, at least a year out. because it's going to take some time to really think through a lot of the things that they need to consider. Yeah. So at least a year out, I think it's wise if they can be sort of working on it and preparing it all along.
Yeah.
In thinking about at some point, this work is going to end and other work is going to begin. And so I need to be thinking about how am I going to capture the essence of each job I'm doing and help that make sense for a civilian employer. I find a lot of what I'm doing is I kind of do a translation. I look at somebody's resume or I have them sit and talk with me about their experience. And then I take notes and say, how would this sound? How would this look in civilian speak?
Yeah, yeah.
And then part of what I'm doing is I'm then going to talk through that with them and teach them about how to translate what they've done in the military into civilian speak.
Yeah.
And what are employers looking for in terms of your experiences? And so, again, it's sort of taking off some of those rough edges and helping the veterans tell their story in a way that's understandable so that employers can make sense of the value that veterans are bringing in terms of being applicants for their positions. But it's also valuable for the veteran because they get to reconceptualize who they are and the really amazing work that they've done. Sometimes in the moment, they're not really thinking that way. They don't recognize the significance of some of the things that they've done. Particular some of the younger folks, when I go back and reframe some of the work that they've done, especially related to leadership and things, like you realize that most people your age have not had this level of experience in leading and working with others.
Yeah.
And so that really helps to change their mindset as well in terms, you know, like I say, in reframing who they are and their identity, they really start to see that, wow, I've done a lot. I've really accomplished some things. You know, I wasn't just kind of doing the job. I was actually learning and growing along the way. And I do have a lot to offer an employer.
Yeah, yeah. I think a couple of things. One is I think the process of getting out of service, I agree, a year, at least a year. But I always tell people about 2 years out and really a little bit longer mm-hmm. out. The second thing is, when should you have a resume? I think on your first enlistment, you ought to have a resume and continue to grow and build mm-hmm. that resume. And then the last thing is, and you hit on a minute ago, I often tell people that when I went to war, and I went to war at 18 years old, I went from 18 to 55 in war. And my life mm-hmm. changed. I mean, in fact, I was telling somebody the other day, I think my heart turned black when I was in war because I didn't look at things the same way. And I think, again, it's difficult for most people to understand. I know that you do. But I think it's difficult for most people to understand how tough that transition is because mm-hmm. it's in your DNA. In fact, I always tell people I'll be a soldier till the day I die, but it's tough. But a lot of people, I think 17 or 20, man, I keep getting sort of mixed numbers on how many veterans are out there, but a lot of people have got out of the service. They're doing pretty well and are doing real well, I'm sure. But transition is tough, but it's not hard as long as you have a mentor or somebody like you, a coach, helping them out to get them, get them prepared to get out of the service, along with their military spouse. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Sarah Minnis, Assistant Professor and Master of Science and Human Resources Program at Western Carolina University, and you're watching Your Next Mission video podcast with your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, please like us and click on that subscribe button below there. Join our team and help us out here a little bit. Sarah, in your practice, you've sat with many veterans, advising them on transition, helping them prepare. You mentioned your approach, the process holistically. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Sure. I think I approach the transition from beyond just a, you know, an employment transition. Mm-hmm. I look at it as this is really a whole life transition. You are leaving one life, one path, and you are moving on to something else. So we may start with talking about the career aspects, but when I do kind of an initial intake, you know, what are your needs? What are you looking for? Conversation. Part of what comes of that is I'm trying to understand what are your family's needs? Where are you thinking you want to live? What kind of work are you thinking you want to do that's going to help you build the family lifestyle that you want? So I get into a lot of questions that are perhaps either directly, often tangentially related to the transition. But a lot of times those conversations are really more about identifying what does this whole person's future potentially look like? What did they want their future to look like? And having them describe that for me. So it's family. It's what kind of income do you need to sustain your family? It's where do you want to live? What other responsibilities will you have on your plate in addition to, you know, being a spouse, a partner, going to work, being a parent, yeah. You know, those things. What are the other things? So it really becomes more of a holistic conversation. And I think a lot of the resources that I've seen out there are really focused on the employment piece, which is great. But you've got to take a little more into account when someone is a little older, has a little more life experience, and is not just an individual person making that transition. Sometimes it is an individual person, but they've got other responsibilities on their plate that we need to think about. So I try to broaden that conversation and hopefully take into account other things that are going on in their life, other things they need to attend to. And we center that employment piece because that's really the big aspect that they need help with. But none of that happens on its own. It's always connected to family, other responsibilities, other desires and interests for their future. So it becomes a broader conversation. And I think that really helps a person think more strategically about what they want their life to look like, what they want their work to look like, how they want to integrate their work in their life, because no longer will work be the whole life. It will be a piece of it. And so it's, again, it's part of that reframing that identity, but also helping to get them a little broader look at where they're going and things that they need to consider as part of that future.
Yeah, you're really talking about a mindset shift with service members and mm-hmm. family members, and really trying to understand the part about transitioning. That's really, I mean, just to have your, just to fully understand exactly what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and all that other stuff. And that's tough when you're talking about, I always tell people, that shifting and getting out of the service is probably one of the hardest things I ever had to do, but in some cases one of the easiest things that I had to do, because I had a mentor, I had somebody who was talking to me and coaching and teaching me a little bit. Do you think just having a mindset shift, is that one of the toughest things that people have in transitioning?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because it really is that your whole life is changing, and so you have to look at things very differently. You sometimes, you know, if you are deployed and you have a spouse at home who's really managing things, kind of the same thing. You come home and you have to figure out, where do I fit? What are the things that I need to jump in and take over and start doing again? What are the things that I maybe need to back off? And spouse has got this. I don't need to get in the middle and muck things up. So it's sort of the same mindset. It's okay, now I'm out and we have the opportunity to build this new life. What do I need to jump in and think about and do? And what are the things that I maybe don't need to worry so much about? And how do I change my perspective from fully integrated in military to fully integrated in civilian life and civilian work? And really maybe being able to shift focus onto family and some other things that I want to be successful with in life. I've seen people take up new hobbies, go back to school, yeah. You know, do all kinds of things that they wanted to do forever, but just couldn't. And so it really is this mind shift and change in identity.
Yeah. You know, you said something, I just almost started laughing a minute ago, but I remember when I got out of the service, and I'm a little bit, probably I was a little bit older than a lot of people, I'm sure, but when I got out of service, we built a house down in Florida, and I remember just what you just said about moving back in the house, always being around, always being there and all that stuff. So we built this house, we moved in and got everything squared away in the house, and I'm sort of helping. I thought I was helping anyway, helping my wife. And one day she looked at me and she says, "Don't you have something to do?" At airport, yeah. I just go find a job, get out of the house, go do something else, get out of here, do something else. So it was sort of, she sort of gave me the right direction about, do something else. And it is, and you're right on target when you talk about, and the Army and the military talks about a lot now when you're deployed and come back, how to move back into the home, how to, if you're not giving your kids direction, you're sort of ease back in the house a little bit. And it's tough. And again, just like transition. That's a great story. I need to talk to you more about my wife. She sort of taught me a lot about transition indirectly anyway. So
good for her.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size, ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at navyfederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at purdueglobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Dr. Sarah Minnis, Assistant Professor and Master of Science in Human Resources Program at the Western Carolina University. And I want all of our viewers to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover on the show. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll actually reach back out to you. You may find that surprising. Or send me an email at SMATilly@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. Sarah, we're heading into the final segment. I'm about ready to cry because I don't want to go into the final segment here with you today. But I hope you've enjoyed it just as much as I have. I just really have just a couple more questions. How do you build trust and encourage veterans to open up to you?
I think for me, trust in that that coaching space is very much a two-way street. I can't expect someone to open up and share all of their experiences and hopes and dreams and fears with me if I am not also a little bit vulnerable in that process. So I really make it a conversation. If there's something that resonates with me that they share, I also will share some things that I've been through that kind of gave me some perspective on that identity shift that we're talking about, and things that change us as people. We all have those points in our life that really have created maybe a divergent path. And so I look to build that relationship very naturally. I let them know that whatever they share with me is confidential. I'm not bound by any kind of confidentiality clauses or anything, but it's about respect. I ask them, tell me what you want out of this work, and then I also let them know what my boundaries are. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a licensed counselor. I'm not, someone who is trained necessarily to get into some of the deeper issues, but I can listen. I can provide perspective. And then I can also help with if they need referrals in terms of finding someone to address other issues. I want to help them with that as well. So it's part of that process of building trust is creating that relationship, letting them know that it's a safe space for them to talk with me about whatever. But I also am very clear with them about what I can and cannot help them with professionally and how I will support them with finding the resources that they need for other issues that they may be needing some help with. So I think it's a two-way street. I have as much respect and regard for them in terms of the service that they've done as I could ever imagine, and regardless of who it is. So I've worked with everyone from, you know, a lower enlisted all the way up through senior military leadership, because I find that everybody has similar questions. The urgency may be different, and their look at their time in service and what it's given them may look a little different. But overall, there is a good amount of similarity between the questions that that someone, a lower enlisted service member, may have, concerns and challenges that they may be facing with even some of the most senior leaders. And so I let them know too that, you know, it's okay to feel this way, because almost everybody that I talk to has the similar feeling. So you're totally normal. And a lot of times they're feeling very not normal at that moment. So helping them to feel a little more secure in that process also, I think, is part of that trust building.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, no matter what rank you are, whether or not you're a private or a general, you're in the Army, you're a soldier. In the Navy, you're a sailor. In the Air Force, you're an airman. In the Marine Corps, you're a Marine. So it doesn't matter who you are. You still got those issues that you got to work through. So it's that makes a lot of sense to me. What do you think is the biggest issue of our veterans face when thinking about, you know, planning for that transition? And how can they cope, I guess, is how does people cope with it? I guess I tried to cope with it in different ways. But what do you suggest to them, I guess?
I think identity and kind of fear of the unknown are those two big challenge areas. And what I tell them is being a little afraid is normal, and it's also not a bad thing. It means that there's a challenge ahead. And if nothing else, you know, everything that you've done up to this point tells me that you can take a challenge.
Yeah.
You took a challenge that many other people in our country have not taken. So first step, you can do this. And so we start from there. You know, let's break down your fears, your worries, your concerns. You know, write them down. Tell me what they are. And let's talk through them. And let's come up with answers for how to break through that fear, and so that you build confidence in this process.
Yeah.
You know, one of those fears is, how do I talk to an employer about my background? Well, we're going to cover that. We're going to give you language so that you don't feel afraid. You feel confident in what you're doing. So for every challenge point that they're feeling, we're going to try and address that and resolve that either in my process with them or with another resource that I can refer them to.
Yeah. I used to tell people, is, you know, you got to dress for success, and going in front of somebody is like a promotion board in the military. You know, make sure you sit up straight, make sure, you know, just a lot of little small things that really prepare for that. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think of the top three, you know, what would you think were the top three recommendations for, you know, a service member preparing for transition? Is there a top three? I always have three things anyway.
I think top three makes sense because three is a doable number. Top three, number one, start early.
Yeah.
It is never too early. You know, I usually say, you know, at a year out, you've got to be real intentional about it. But before that, all the way through, I mean, from the first time you enter the service, you've got to be thinking about, at some point, I'm going to get out. So understanding your competencies and your capabilities is important. Understanding how to build relationships and not just, you know, friendships are good, but also how to build strategic, intentional relationships and think about what am I going to bring to the conversation? And then understanding what some of the needs are out there in the world and how you can help address those needs based on the experiences you've had, and then maybe some further education or training or things. So start thinking about those things early. Number two, understand that it's not easy. Just, you know, accept that early on. But you've faced bigger challenges, and you will face bigger challenges in the future. This is just one along your path, but you're not in it alone. There are a variety of resources out there. You just need to be able to tap into those. You need to find folks who can help you do that. I'm one of those people, and there are a lot of other folks out there, great resources that can help you get started. So start thinking about what are your resources and how do I access those resources. And if you don't know, make a friend and ask them. There are a lot of people out there, active duty in the service right now, who are starting this path and are already doing a great job and setting themselves up for success. So talk to other people. Service members trust other service members. So I always say, make a friend and learn together. The third thing that they need to be thinking about is what are the other responsibilities? So family, whatever that looks like, a spouse, a partner, other things that they need to be considering, including their health. So one of the things that we talk about in my process with them is, have you gone and done your whole physical and gotten everything on record for your VA rating? Have you filed for your disability if you are qualified? Maybe if you're thinking about going back to school, yep, that may open up some opportunities in terms of things that you might be interested in studying. So think about all those other contingencies, your family, your health, what you need to get by financially, and where do you want to be financially in the future? And then what do you want your community around you to look like? So beyond just your family, friends, what are you looking for in supportive resources that could be in your community? So let's talk a little bit about that and how to explore, if you're moving, how you find out what's available to help you in this process.
Yeah, some great advice right there. What are you researching now that can help veterans in the future?
So I'm on the second phase of probably a 3 to 5 year project. It started this last year with initial book chapter, talking about, and we use that word transition. Everybody's using it, and we talk about service members and going, leaving the service. We talk about transition, reintegration. We use those words, but what does that process really look like? And nobody's really explored that deeply. So my research partner and I wrote a book chapter using a model that exists for transitioning expertise from one field to another. And so the book chapter was a first step in sort of thinking about, this could apply to the work that we do with veterans. And we set up a couple scenarios that we talked through using that model. So the next step is to actually finish writing a research paper positing a theory and a model of what that transition and reintegration looks like, using this existing model as our template. And the stage after that will then beginning talking to people and actually saying, tell us what your transition experience was like, and let's see how that fits or doesn't fit with this model that we're thinking of using. So that'll be a 3 to 5 year project, and we expect then to find some things that will lead us to new questions. I tend to focus on the veterans' experience on my side of the research. My research partner really looks at how do we use that to inform the civilian employer side. So I look at what can we learn from the military and veteran experience. And then we kind of take that forward and say, how do we use this out there in the civilian world? So we've got a great kind of through play on our work, both of us looking at different sides. My research partner is a veteran and I'm not. So that also gives us a really neat lens that we can bring to this kind of work.
Yeah, a little cross-fertilization there. I think it's probably not a bad idea. If someone wanted to read some of your research papers, or even reach out to you for help, how would they go about finding you?
To find my research is pretty easy. You can go onto Google Scholar and look me up there, Sarah Minnis and Veterans. And you can find a whole bunch of research articles and things, other papers that have cited my work. To reach me, you can reach me via email through the university at sminnis@wcu.edu. And if nothing else, you can find me on LinkedIn or Twitter.
I'm sure you're all over that social media stuff. Before I ask you if there's any final thoughts, because unfortunately we're going to have to wrap it up. Now, this is a big one for me. I understand you don't charge anything for helping veterans out. It's all free or pro bono, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to say, I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, God bless you. Thank you for doing that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that was something that I decided very early on, partly because, you know, it's my way of serving and giving back in the little way that I can. It's just, it makes sense to me. Somebody needs help. They've already served. They've already paid with their time. Yeah. So this is something that I can do on my end with the knowledge and skills that I have to help them. And it also, in terms, it helps our entire country, because we are helping service members continue to give back on the civilian side in their work. And so I found that for me, that's just a natural way of doing things. I do presentations and workshops and speaking engagements for HR or organizations out there and talking about this topic and things that they need to know. And they're usually happy to pay me a little bit for that. So it's not, for me, it's not about a moneymaker. I have a day job that I love that supports me in doing all of this work. So I am happy to take a salary there. It allows me the freedom then to be able to do everything else that I love to do without having to charge anybody.
Well, from this old soldier, thank you for doing that. That's a lot of people, God puts us all on this earth to do something and to make a difference, and you're making a difference. Any final thoughts, anything that maybe we missed or we should have covered that I didn't ask you about? Anything you want to add to anything we talked about just, you know, today?
I think the biggest thing that I would tell folks, if you are thinking about that transition, if you are looking at what your reintegration looks like after the military, and you're a little bit nervous about that, it's okay. That's normal. We're all nervous when we go through big changes, but you've done more difficult things in your career so far, and you can do this too. You might need a little help and a little support, and that's what I'm here to give. But I know that everybody out there can do this and can be successful. And my goal is, when I look at the BLS data every month and I look at that veteran unemployment number, at some point I'm hoping that I see that is zero. That means all of our veterans are employed. They're doing meaningful work that they feel good about, and they are having a continued fair shake at the American dream.
Yeah. Well, just again, just from this old soldier, old veteran, if whatever you want to call me, I guess, thank you for what you're doing. You're making a difference, and there's not a lot of people like you that get out there and want to give back. So God bless you for what you do each and every day for our veterans and their families. Thanks to Dr. Sarah Minnis. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for watching today. Please visit our website on yournextmission.org and leave me a review. Hopefully, I always say, hopefully it's a good review, but if it's a bad one, I guess I can take that too. You can also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. And we've been talking about that now, so you know, it's not that difficult. You do need assistance, but reach out to us. We'll help you. Also, please visit our corporate partners there and see all the jobs that are available for you. Please know we want to assist you in any way we can. I always like to say that twice. Please know we want to assist you in any way that we can. Please follow me on all my social media channels. I say that every week and it sort of flips me out. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Never thought I'd ever say that. And if you enjoyed discussion, and I know that you do with Sarah, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me an email at or a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatelly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Dr. Sarah Minnis for being with us today. It was just great having you on the podcast. And I always like to leave you with some final thoughts. And talk to the doctor this morning. I have a lot of them. Plan far enough out. Make sure you have a resume. Pay all your bills off. Pay all your credit cards off. Make sure you get your education. If you have a 2-year degree, get a 4-year degree. If you have a 4-year degree, get a master's. If you have a master's, get a doctorate. But prepare yourself to get out of the service. The other thing I'll tell you, there's been a lot of veterans that have gotten out of the service, just like me, and life's okay. But you got to work on it. You got to prepare yourself. The last thing I'd tell you is that reach out and find a mentor. Find somebody like the good doctor, a coach that can assist you in separating from the military. Again, you're not by yourself. We're a small veteran community, but we're certainly powerful. Again, thanks for watching, and thanks to Cloudcast Media, New Mind Studios, of course, our 4 presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. And I'm going to say that again. We appreciate each and every day all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.